White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is White Aryan Resistance Radio Network calling. And this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, here in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana, you know, on a beautiful, beautiful day. Couldn't be any better. Yeah. It is the... Wait a minute. Oh, May the 1st. May Day. I haven't heard anybody talking about celebrations for May Day, an ancient celebration of the white race, the pagans and so forth, the ancestors of our people. May Day. Think about it. The communists grabbed it for a while and used it for their benefit, but it belongs to us, not to the Jew Bolsheviks. And we'll put that up to the She-Wolves today on Friday. Doesn't that stir your innards? Doesn't that want to make you lift up a sword and chop your enemies to bits? Doesn't that bring the ideas of the Vikings and the Germanics and Celts and all those people that did war against the Roman Church and even Rome? Yeah. Yep. Feel it getting closer? Do you feel it? I feel it. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but it's coming. And hopefully a percentage of the white race has stored up the ruthless hatred they'll need to come back. Now that we've been almost totally mongrelized by Negroes. What a shame it is before the rest of the world. I can imagine what the Russians are thinking, that they're letting these Umermensch run rampant through all the streets of the cities of the United States, whining and getting their way and stomping their feet. Also, the crummy cops, stupid cops, stupid white cops that fall into the trap. And they're just as bad in many ways because they're not trained properly. And so many of them don't know how to do anything or make an arrest without killing somebody or shooting them, which only paves the way for what we're facing with these crazy, unequal Negroes running around. Of course, the white liberal types, they're always ready to cave in on anything. The niggers are always right. White's always wrong. And like that. But we've been warned. Decades and decades and decades we've been warned. Even hundreds of years we've been warned. And then we allow these asshole founding fathers to come up with this, we're all equal. When they knew better, they just stuck that in the Declaration of Independence to get weapons from France, because France was going crazy in their revolutionary phase. Liberty, equality, fraternity, all that nonsense. Of course, those founding guys, they didn't mean all races are equal. Of course they didn't mean that. They most of them had slaves. Of course they didn't mean it. and the Constitution was supposed to be for a white man's country. Even Hollywood warned you. I mean, you could see it in the movies. Hollywood was warning you. Just a second here. We'll switch to our Hollywood people and see what they said 50 years ago. I mean, 50 years ago. Well, remember, even before that, Birth of a Nation. And you didn't listen.
I'm in a position to know, because the Patrick Henry Society has studied the whole thing. The real problem, whether you like it or not, is whether you're going to sit back and let desegregation spread throughout the entire South. And it's an indisputable fact that there could be no other result. The Negroes will literally, and I do mean literally, control the South. The vote will be theirs. You'll have black mayors and black policemen the way they do in Chicago and New York already. Like is not a black governor and black doctors to deliver your babies. If they find time, that is. And that's the way it'll be. The position to know, because the Patrick Henry Society has studied the whole thing. The real problem, whether you like it or not, is whether you're going to sit back and let desegregation spread throughout the entire South. And it's an indisputable fact that there could be no other result. The Negroes will literally, and I do mean literally, control the South. The vote will be theirs. You'll have black mayors and black policemen the way they do in Chicago and New York already. Like is not a black governor and black doctors to deliver your babies. If they find time, that is. And that's the way it'll be. No. Because the Patrick Henry Society has studied the whole thing. The real problem, whether you like it or not, is whether you're going to sit back and let desegregation spread throughout the entire South. And it's an indisputable fact that there could be no other result. The Negroes will literally, and I do mean literally, control the South. The vote will be theirs. You'll have black mayors and black policemen the way they do in Chicago and New York already. Like is not a black governor and black doctors to deliver your babies. If they find time, that is. And that's the way it'll be. I'm in a position to know, because the Patrick Henry Society has studied the whole thing. The real problem, whether you like it or not, is whether you're going to sit back and let desegregation spread throughout the entire South. And it's an indisputable fact that there could be no other result. The Negroes will literally, and I do mean literally, control the South. The vote will be theirs. You'll have black mayors and black policemen the way they do in Chicago and New York already. Like is not a black governor and black doctors to deliver your babies. If they find time, that is. And that's the way it'll be. I'm in a position to know, because the Patrick Henry Society has studied the whole thing. The real problem, whether you like it or not, is whether you're going to sit back and let desegregation spread throughout the entire South. And it's an indisputable fact that there could be no other result. The Negroes will literally, and I do mean literally, control the South. The vote will be theirs. You'll have black mayors and black policemen the way they do in Chicago and New York already. Like is not a black governor and black doctors to deliver your babies. If they find time, that is. And that's the way it'll be. I'm in a position to know, because the Patrick Henry Society has studied the whole thing. The real problem, whether you like it or not, is whether you're going to sit back and let desegregation spread throughout the entire South. And it's an indisputable fact that there could be no other result. The Negroes will literally, and I do mean literally, control the South. The vote will be theirs. You'll have black mayors and black policemen the way they do in Chicago and New York already. Like as not, a black governor and black doctors to deliver your babies. If they find time, that is. And that's the way it'll be.
Well, I wanted to make sure that you got the message. Those kind of messages were spoken all over the South back in the 50s and 60s. But what did we do up north? What did we do? We got sidetracked into fighting communism. I spent personally a hell of a lot of money that I couldn't afford to spend in the John Birch Society and all these other groups that said, oh, no, we can't be racist because, oh, you're just playing into the hands of the communists. No, being in the John Birch Society was playing into their hands because the main program of the Communist Party was race mixing. That was the main push of the Communist Party. And we'd say, oh, isn't that how horrible they treat the Negro down south? Instead of joining arms with our brethren in the south, we sit up north and criticize them down south. There were quite a number of white people that went south to fight alongside the white racial groups in the south. I knew a lot of them. But unfortunately, I didn't come to my senses about race until it was too late. Or at least it was that phase of the Southern problem. There should have been thousands of white people going south. There were thousands of white people going south to march with the Negroes. To say, oh, we got to have equality. You can't have equality with a Negro. Do you understand that? Evolution will not permit it. Your baby Jesus might permit it. But he didn't exist, so forget that stuff. The churches were up to the neck in that stuff. Oh, well, if we're equal, then why can't your daughter go with my son, says the nigger. We're good Christians. Remember that song about little children? Little children, black and white, he is precious in our sight. Remember all that shit they spoon-fed us? Yeah. We got it in school. We got it in every place. We got it in the movies. Everywhere we went, they were pouring race mixing down our throat. Early on, even as a right winger, I was still in the church. Still in the church, taking my kids off to listen to that puke. At one point, I had two or three kids in a Catholic school where they got all that stuff. And now we're getting closer and closer and closer to the wire. How far down can we go? I think it depends on the opposition. I think we can depend on the corruption in Washington, the corruption in the churches, the corruption in your state houses, and the greed of all these people. I think we can depend on them to just keep backing up to the Negro. And most of them don't like him, but they figure a way of using them. All these black governors, I'm going to tell you a little secret. There's white money behind them, or they wouldn't be there. And they do take orders. And I'm thrilled when black radicals will drag those bastards and their old Uncle Toms out into the street and do whatever they want to do to them. I'm for that. Because we have to be, number one, honest about ourselves. Now, I hope Baltimore burns to the ground just like they did back in the 70s. I went through all that. I watched Newark burn. I watched Washington, D.C., a large chunk of it burn. I was there to watch riots. I was within 5 miles of the center of the Watts riots. Smoke climbing hundreds of feet into the air. Back then, at least there were some people resisting. The Minutemen were behind the scenes operating, and at least one Klan group in L.A. was operating. And they weren't taking any names, and they weren't taking any crap, I'll tell you that. Yeah, I remember back when one guy told me about a Klan leader that was headed south. He opened up his trunk to show the guy some full of machine guns. Connie Lynch and his brother was taking south. Connie Lynch was a great street fighter and a great guerrilla fighter who went into the south and did some real damage. Connie Lynch was not given hardly any credit because the cowardly right wing, even the ones that say they're racist, they're not really hardcore. Connie Lynch died alone in a cheap hotel down in Georgia. Pretty sure it was Georgia. Most of our people, the really good ones, die in poverty. They die without any respect given them or anything else. The only racist, so-called racist, that get any of that is the phony ones, the David Dukes and people like that. Then you got all these people that say, press said, are you in the Ku Klux Klan? Yeah, but I'm not racist. I want to tear their throat out. Those kind of people are worthless. They're even worse than worthless. And we got a whole bunch of them. They're on these chat boards and everything like that. They're no more white racist of the kind that we should be than the man in the moon. We got a whole bunch of people now with radio shows. They're all saying, can't talk to Metzger, he says nigger. Meanwhile, a nigger's raping their daughters and raping their wives and stealing their cars. We can't offend the niggers. Can't offend the niggers because there's a couple of good ones. It's because, like I heard the other day, that 13% of the white people in this country have black blood in them, which I can almost believe because they sure act like it. We have to go back to might is right. We have to look in the mirror and say the black race, no matter whether there's a black guy down the street that seems like a pretty nice guy, the black race is an unequal race. It's probably 250,000 years behind the evolution of the white man. And you got to understand that, and you got to look in the mirror and say that. I mean, you're really cruel to the black people, really, because you're now telling them they're equal or even superior, of which they can never be. Collectively, they never can be, and they never will be. And they're not going to evolve ahead. Because evolution seems to have almost standing still now. This race-mixing crap is waylaid evolution. And the only thing that will bring evolution back is the sword. I don't mean these candy-ass military people with their big jets and their big ships and their big bombs and all that. I mean real warriors. Real warriors. These military today fights almost totally with mechanization. They don't know how to fight as individual soldiers. Now, I'm not saying everyone's like that, but most of them are. Now, I told a black radio guy, I said, look, you're all worried about these white cops, what they're doing. Well, why do you go along with sending the military over to other countries? You teach them to murder, you teach them to kill in the very most efficient way and how to do it with bombs or whatever. They go over there and they come back, they're killers. I mean, if I sent a guy back in the 30s to Chicago to work with Al Capone for 2 or 3 years, how do you think he'd be when you brought him back? You can't forget that stuff. They're coming back here. A lot of them have the PTSD. And the rest of them have nuclear poisoning. Yeah, nobody wants to talk about nuclear poisoning. And who gets the first dibs at jobs for the cops? It's these guys that we train to kill everybody. And they're over there and they do kill as many as they can. I know these guys. I talk to them. Not only now, but in Vietnam. You get the bloodlust. And many of them get to where they enjoy killing. In fact, they were even killing each other. There was black and white fragging right on the front lines in Vietnam. There wasn't many lines, but that's what happened. So, you cannot make a thoroughbred racehorse out of a Belgian draft power horse. When I was a kid, my dad used to take me all the time in the summer to these fairs where they had pulling contests. But it was animals, horses, not tractors like later on. That was boring, see, tractor pulling. These great, beautiful Belgium draft horses, Clydesdales like, the ones that used to carry the knights around with all their armor, to watch those beauties get down and dig to pull thousands and thousands of pounds through the mud, it was something to see. You can't get a thoroughbred to do that. A thoroughbred couldn't even move one of those big sleds loaded with weight. Same way, the other way around. You can't take a Belgian draft and put him in a Kentucky Derby against thoroughbreds. And that's the problem you've got. You can't force equalization. You cannot force evolution. Mother Nature takes care of it. They've paid all kinds of money to put middle-class blacks in white schools and some upper middle class. They don't do a damn bit better than they did in the poor schools where they come from. These are things they don't want to talk about. People call me all the time, what do you think about this in Maryland? What do you think about this? I said, well, it's just another step along the way. It doesn't shock me at all. In fact, I'm shocked it isn't more of it and isn't happening more often. What do you think? I'm not against it. I'm for chaos. Chaos is the only thing that's open to us. The beauty about chaos, other people can do it for you. These black radio announcers, black talk show guys are really something. They might as well be pushing our program because they are black racists. And I respect them for being black racists. Everything's brother this and brother that, and we got to do this and the black people got to do that. Well, that's fine. That's what they should do. But the first thing they got to do is separate and get away from us. Because we are racist bastards. And we're never going to leave them alone. Quit following us around. Everywhere we go, the niggers follow us. Why? Because we've got the goodies. We work to get the goodies. And we develop things and we invent things and everything else. So why wouldn't they? You know, like if you're on a ship out there in the ocean and you see all these seagulls flying at the rear of your ship looking for things to be tossed overboard, garbage to be crossed over or pushed overboard. Sure, it's easy. It's easy. Yeah, we don't want to work real hard for it. I'm not saying that all black people don't work hard. Sure, a lot of them do. But they're not civilization builders. They never have, never will be. And all that bullshit about Egypt and the black race is ridiculous. Look now at these black Egyptians. I mean, they had a top military officer in the Egyptian army on TV the other day. Black as the ace of spades. Black as the ace of spades. We're going to end this problem, the present problem, because the cops, so many of them, are either jerks when they get on the force. They don't seem to know any way of making an arrest without killing somebody. They got a thing. They use a gun for everything. When probably 75% of those arrests could be done without killing somebody. And when you say, Tom, you should be on the side of the white cops, let me tell you something. I was brutalized by the cops in Oceanside, California. I've had cop informants all over me for years. My son and I were thrown to the ground in Ontario, Canada, with machine guns at our head by the so-called Mounties. I was pushed around several times at the U.S. border by the cops when we were doing nothing, absolutely nothing illegal. When I ran for U.S. Senate back in 1982 in L.A., I had a gathering of people, my supporters. Most people were afraid to come, but some did. And the cops had the gall to pull their van right up on the grass of the community center within 10 feet of the door going into the meeting, taking pictures of everyone going into my meeting in my run for Senate. So there's a lot more I can come up with, but I should have made notes about why I don't like cops. And I have had cop friends, at least one, way back before I really got racial. Our families used to meet and go to get together and have picnics and everything else. But you know what? He was a jerk too. He used to drive way over the speed limit everywhere we went. He always had a glass of liquor on the console, and he used to make fun of stopping people and giving them a hard time, and stopping women drivers just to see how big tits they had. That friendship ended because he was a moral rat, but he pretended to be a great Christian, Roman Catholic Christian. So this white cop shooting niggers is not going to change because you have too many psychologically unfit people wearing the uniform. You got too many of these people that are psychologically damaged or they're militarily damaged. And that's what you get when you send thousands and thousands of people into occupational wars. You turn them into rats. You don't turn them into heroes. The only hero thing is to save your own life, your own ass, when you're under fire. You don't give a shit about anything else. So they're coming back and they're becoming cops, they're becoming FBI agents, they're becoming, you know, a little bit of everything. And it's not going to end because they don't know what to do with them. So this is the only thing they can figure out to do with them. Because they don't care about them. They just turn them loose. Their families become victims. The wives, the kids. Some of the cruelest men I've ever known were military men as far as a family situation. I had a friend, not a real good friend, but again, a social person, his wife and him. He was a Marine drill instructor. He was a mean man. He was mean to his kids. I went one time to the camp down at Miramar, San Diego, to the Marine training area. And I was in the other room, and he was talking to his troops. He was a cruel and mean man. His wife divorced him. I don't know what happened to him, because this is the way they train him to be, mean and cruel. Another thing with these cops, when I was in jail in Los Angeles and in High Power, which was where all the murderers were, I watched and observed these cops. They're in there, they're working out every day, getting great big giant arms and wearing shirts that are way too small, trying to play Mr. King Kong. And whenever a prisoner would get out, at least bit out of line, it'd be like a hit squad. It'd be four or five of these great big buffed out guys come running. Boy, they're going to get something. I could hear the prisoners screaming, being beaten down. Well, when these guys come out of the academy, they don't put them on the street. A good share of them they put into jail. In with the very worst of society, and they leave them in that jail till they think they're ready and brutal enough, ruthless enough, and then they turn them loose on the public. And that's where a lot of this problem comes too. Why would you take a new recruit, cop or sheriff, right out of the academy and put him in with the worst scum of the earth? Unless you wanted them to be that way. The system wanted them to be that way. The judge that sat on my trial in L.A. was an ex-cop, and some of the lawyers knew all about him. And he was there talking down to me because I was a white racist. But they told me that he was the meanest cop in the division. And they had him down in South L.A. In the black community. He was the most cruel, vicious, ruthless cop down there. And yet he was sitting up there on the bench as a judge telling me what a rat I was. Things straight. We just want separation. We don't want to rule over blacks. I don't want to be the boss of blacks in business or anything else. We just want separation. I don't care how the blacks want to live, what they want to do, because they should be doing it on their own in their own place. But if anybody thinks that they're ever going to solve this race problem, it's impossible. Mother Nature will not allow it. Nature will not allow it. So things got to get worse. There'll be explosions all over this country. I don't mean bombs. I mean blood, lust, knives, guns, all those things. And when it reaches the property class, when it reaches the upper middle class and rich, when they start getting their throats cut and dragged out of the cars at a stoplight and bludgeoned to death, guess what will happen then? Then the Northern Command will be put into action. Yeah, that military outfit that's supposed to put down uprisings in the United States, that'll be another step. But there'll have to be these blacks and Mexicans and even whites that are going to be sooner or later going for the wealthy people. And then you're going to see something. Then that'll be another step in the empire destruction. Yeah. Now, if you happen to be a cop or an FBI guy or ATF or whatever, if you happen to be into one of those groups, I'm going to give you a little warning. You better keep your mouth shut, keep your head down. Don't discuss race with anybody. If you have to, pretend to be a race mixer. And you could be not only gain a lot of advancement in your work, but you can operate as a lone wolf for us on the inside. We'll never meet you. We'll never talk to you. We'll never tell you what to do. But you will know. And if you can't do that, get out. Or you're going to end up like these guys back east. You're going to kill some nigger, and they're going to hang you out to dry. And under the heat of the circumstances, it's not hard to go run away with yourself. Going down a dark alley at night, with niggers all over the place, you get trigger happy. But I do condemn the fact that there's not enough cops that are using their brains to make an arrest without killing people. For your own career, for your own good. So you can use tasers, you can use pepper spray. They seem to think that pepper spray is a sissy thing, which is amazing, because I've dropped two or three people with pepper spray with one or two shots, and they didn't bother me anymore. Now, what if I'd have pulled a gun and shot them? Well, I'd be in prison yet. They'd have figured some way to get me in there. They've even got these nets they throw over people, all kinds of stuff. Now, of course, there's times when you got to use a gun. But most of the time, you don't. So why be trigger happy? And that's another thing. These guys come back from being overseas. They were trigger happy over there, and they're trigger happy here. So, but, as usual, probably no cop that ever hears this will listen to what I'm saying, and he'll end up getting screwed. A few days ago, I read something that this young guy that I ran into, I think he's about 30, that I met him a couple of times. He bought some newspapers off of me to put around, and the last time I met with him, he gave me a couple of pieces of paper. I didn't read it till I got home, and I think I read it to you about these idiot that was leaving this paper around up at Leith. He might as well have been working for the JDL or the ADL, or he might as well have been. Hey, TT, I was listening to your show from April the 20th. I couldn't believe it when I heard about the idiot who typed up a rant about how war is going to burn crosses on Tom Metzger's property, have concerts, march around in the streets, build Kinsland, and so on. How could anyone write this shit when it's just the opposite of what you preach? It's really sad when the most important cause of the earth attracts the dumbest people. People like him make us look so stupid. Yeah, it's one thing to have people disagree with you, but to look stupid is real insult. And when anybody has contact with a person like me and then does something stupid, then they look at me and say, well, he must be stupid too. That's why I feel much more in control of my little power by being a lone wolf. You don't have to put up with that stuff. Most of the people that come out of the public at this late date, you don't want them. You don't want them around you. You don't want to socialize with them. You don't want to drink with them. You don't want to whatever. Stay away from them. It's a snitch culture. There's a good book written by a reporter I knew up in Portland who was very friendly to me. Or at least, he was friendly during the trial in Portland. Jim Redden. He wrote a book called Snitch Culture. Get it? This country is nothing. It's loaded. It's loaded and running up to the gills and snitches. They'll rat on each other. I mean, I watch these crime movies, and I see these guys are always wanting to get with some other guys, and they always rat on each other. They always rat on each other. It's amazing. And the U.S. criminal government has got tens of thousands of people who have trained to be snitches and informants, instigators, and so forth. They're out there just laying traps from coast to coast. And yet the so-called right-wing racialists that run these big chat boards and all that, they don't warn these people. Those chat boards are listening posts for the feds and everybody. And every once in a while, they'll, like fishing, they'll get a bite and they'll take a guy out the side door and tell him, you want to be a hero and save the white race? Well, let's do this. And there they go, being caught. Prison. I get letters all the time from guys who really screwed up bad and got caught. And now they're doing hard time. The other thing they do is they're into drugs heavy. I don't know where the skinheads got off the track, but there's a hell of a lot of those skinheads got into drugs and just the same shit that the niggers are in, which makes them totally useless. Prisons are full of them. And of course, I advise all the contacts I have, do not associate with prison gangs whatsoever. Do not do that. Stay to yourself. Take care of yourself. And get out of there. Like Bob Miles used to say, and I've said this many times, if you stay away from booze in prison, if you stay away from drugs in prison, if you stay away from sex in prison, you can survive prison. But there's plenty of booze in prison, there's plenty of drugs in prison. A lot of people don't think so. And they've got all these new prisons. They're building them like mad. It's one of the best stocks you can invest in, prison stocks, new prison stocks. And they need to fill them up. I mean, you know, it's easy to fill them up with niggers. I mean, if you watch the cops of these other shows and see how stupid most niggers are, it's no problem to get them and then ship them into a prison. Yeah, they need to fill up those new prisons. And they don't care. If you're white, they want to use you to fill it up too, you know. So if you walk into their traps, they're going to do it. And once they got you, they don't want to let you go. Prisoner letter that goes along those lines. I am an incarcerated brother, Christian identity, and I have heard about you over the past 10 years. I have 15 years left, but have just recently received your address. I'm incarcerated for my role in a shootout with police in Lufkin, Huntington, Texas, August 27th and 28th, 2005. I was originally charged with attempted capital murder but received a 25-year sentence for aggravated assault on a public servant. Most cops are not really public servants. Back in the old days, they were called peace officers. Those were the cops I had more respect for. Anyhow, he said, I was young, 22, dumb, and made the wrong turns. Well, I've been operating a long time. There's no reason why you shouldn't have listened to what I had to say 30, 40 years ago. My first 5 years was a constant battle as I had to prove myself on some pretty rough units. That's another problem you can get into. It's gang fighting and shit in the prison. Sometimes you can't escape it, but the last 5 years has been a lot smoother and I've had time to study. I love to work out my mind as well as my body. I've been sober since 2007, which I never would have thought possible, see? As I've seen more drugs in this system than I did on the street. But I was an alcoholic pothead and now I'm clean. That's how most guys get into the big trouble. Please send me any information that you have to offer, or list with prices as I have some limited funds. So he sent me some stamps. But I get those kind of letters all the time. Skinheads were never taught that by me, get off into drugs and alcohol to the point where they get ridiculous. I drank with skinheads, but when we did, it was usually in a setting where, you know, when you got drunk, you lay down on the grass and go to sleep. Not go out on the streets and beat up people. But the drug thing, I think, started up in the Northwest somehow. But it was never a part of the program. A little saying from opportunities. A man's opportunities are never exhausted so long as other men, who are not his friends, possess millions of acres and thousands of tons of gold. The guarded treasure halls and ironclad temples of modern kings and presidents, high priests and millionaires are positively the richest the world has ever known. Bulging are they with the vast hoards of silver and diamonds and gold. Here, then, is opportunity on a colossal scale. Here is the goal of the Caesars, Nebuchadnezzars, the Napoleons in the days that are coming. All is ready and prepared for them. Even as in olden times, Caesar carried off the treasures of Egypt, Greece, Gaul, and Rome. Napoleon looted the money vaults of Venice, Vienna, Madrid, Berlin, and Moscow. London only escaped him. Nebuchadnezzar plundered the Temple of Zion, where the Jews kept all their deposits, and drank his beer and wine out of Jehovah's pots of gold. Napoleon, Caesar, Nebuchadnezzar, there were three great men, were they not? And in this their greatness consists, that they seized their opportunities. So lay in wait and watch. And let the system eat itself alive. And let the niggers burn things down. We don't care, unless they try to come in our neighborhoods and burn us down. 14:5. We'll be back with an archive show on Saturday. And somebody was suggesting that they didn't have used computers and things like that, that whether they could get the show on either audio tape or CD, and I think I can do that. So if you know somebody out there that just doesn't use a computer, and there still are people like that, and they want to get the show, well, tell them they can send their $20, and I'll send them like two shows at a time on either on tape or CD. Maybe that'll help some guys out that don't use a computer.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today? To take you to his mansion in the sky. All the folks around ground still say she's crazy. 'Cause she walks downtown with a suitcase in her hand, looking for a mysterious dark-haired man. In her younger days, they called her Delta Dawn. Take you to his mansion in the sky. take you to his mansion in the sky. Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a baby?